The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, the consulting company Deloitte released a report today which noted that more than half of Gen Z and millennials are putting off major life decisions. Things like they fear they will never be able to buy a house because of their finances. But this isn't a new phenomenon. It seems every week there's a story about how Gen Z are worried about their futures. But with that in mind, I'm joined now by Sinead Ryan, presenter of The Home Show on News Talk and consumer columnist with the Irish Independent, to tell us the secrets behind financial independence. Sinead, you're very welcome to the show. Good evening. We want to give people decent advice about where they might start to build towards something like buying a home. And we don't want to patronise people, because there's all too many people who will come out and say, tell them to stop having lattes or stop eating avocados and all that sort of thing. So what useful advice do you have for people that might help them, I suppose, get started financially?
Good afternoon, Ciara. Well, I think the important thing is to realise that home ownership has always been very, very expensive. That's across the world, and it is most definitely the case in Ireland. What has changed is the gap between the wages you need to earn and the house price that you have to buy. So, for instance, in 1970, the house prices cost effectively about 4.2 times your salary. In 1980, it was 5.1. By 2000, it had risen to 7.9. So that's a huge chunk of change. Now, it's not a little bit of good news. It's come down since then. So in 2025, it costs 7 times salary. Banks lend 4 times salary. So there's a huge gap there. So it's not surprising that a lot of people of this age group, and we're talking people in their 20s and early 30s, feel this way. It is understandable. And that's the first thing.
Question for you, and not to interrupt, but question for you. If it was back in 1970, 4 times, and now in 2025, it's 7 times, is that 7 times combined salary of 2 people or of 1 people? Because back in 1970, it used to be 1 person was the breadwinner buying the house.
Yes, it's a good question. So these are based on average salaries, which, like, the average industrial wage.
So one person.
So 1 person, exactly.
Okay, so if it is 2 people, then is it much of a muchness? Here, bear me out. If it's 7 times 1 salary, it's probably 3.5 times the combined salary. So has it actually stayed relatively constant by way of ratio, or is that too simplistic?
It's not incorrect, but certainly the process of change, the speed of change has risen very, very considerably in the last 20 years. There is no getting away from that. It had been far more stable up to this point. But there are very many more people who aspire to home ownership these days than would have in the 70s and 80s, where it simply was never a question. So I think
so millennials... are we simply going back to that back in the 70s it wasn't a question, that most people didn't aspire to because they didn't think they'd ever afford it? Are we simply kind of going back to it was always ever thus?
Yeah, it was always ever thus. And there, what's changed in the meantime is that our younger people now are so well educated. They're staying in education a lot longer. They're starting their first job a lot later. And they want to do the lifestyle things now that all their friends are doing, which includes travel, maybe for a year, maybe two, maybe, you know, spending their money rather than saving it the way somebody in the 1970s or 1980s who didn't have those opportunities and they weren't available to them. So the only thing they did with their money was stick it on deposit, save it up until you could afford a home. So it's the whole landscape of how people live nowadays has changed utterly. And home ownership, yes, it can appear out of reach. And I'm not going to be patronising and say, well, if you didn't do all the holidays, maybe it wouldn't be out of reach. That's not fair. There are millennials and Generation Z, which are the kind of the early 30-year-olds, they are choosing to spend their money in the now, to enjoy experiences and to build that kind of relationship with themselves that they wish. And that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's also nothing wrong here, and I think this is where the dichotomy is. In other European cultures, and particularly other European capitals, that's the way they live for good. In other words, home ownership is not an aspiration if you live in Berlin or Amsterdam or the centre of London or in Oslo. It's perfectly okay to continue renting for the whole of your life.
But I think their rental markets might be a little bit more functional than ours. Okay, supposing somebody does want to buy a home or undertake other big financial decisions, or indeed just gather some kind of a nest egg together for themselves, where's a good place to start?
okay, this is really about scaffolding. It's about making sure that you're in control of your money and it's not in control of you. And sometimes you can reach the end of the month and feel you've been mugged. You know, your money's disappeared and you've no idea where it's gone. So getting control of that is really important. And that comes down to a really simple structure of bank accounts. Now, it sounds very boring, but it's really important. So if you can have a different account for different goals and aspirations that you have, I mean, personally, I have 5 of them. And I mean, I've hit most of my goals at my age. So I think it's absolutely fine. They're completely free. If you have
you
a current
have
account,
five set up a deposit, different
I do.
Okay.
I do. But these are all within a framework of overall. It's not that I have 5 times more money. But what it means is that you have a pay yourself first principle. So setting out your goals and aspirations, whether it's something like I need to change my car next year, or I'd like to go on holiday, or in 6 years I need to put my kids through college, or in 10 years I'm retiring. Whatever your goal is, some of them will be very short term, some of them will be longer term. The mistake people make is lumping all of the money into one basket and hope it'll all work out in the wash and it'll be there.
Okay, so do you put into some of your bank accounts money that is untouchable sort of thing, or has a long or medium goal?
Correct. So okay. I've one bank account that's completely untouchable. So to save myself from myself, it's in an account far, far away and I don't download the app. So it gets paid into on payday, same as every other account. The amount doesn't matter more than the habit.
Okay.
So money goes into that. It is not being touched. I've no idea what the balance is and I'm not going to check it until I need it. I know that there's a consistent plan and you know what's leaving my account to service.
So that's your rainy day fund or your future nest egg or your whatever.
Correct. I actually have 2 of those because one of them, I'm self-employed, so I pay VAT, I pay tax once a year. So I have to save up for that every single month. There's no point in arriving in October and revenue says, where's the money? And I say, oh, I forgot to put a buy. So self-employed people do that quite a lot. It's a very good way of structuring it. It's gone. It's not my money. It never was. So I shouldn't be looking at it every day when I go into my bank.
Okay.
It should be gone.
So you've your tax saving account, you've your long-term saving account. What are your other 3 accounts?
So the other ones are short-term goals. So they are things like, and by the way, if you're saving for anything in the long term, you should be investing. If it's a goal that's more than 6 or 7 years away, that's you need to speak to a broker or an investment
advisor. And by investing, do you
advisor.
Mean in stocks and shares and bonds or property? What do you mean?
Any and all of those things, it's usually done via state savings vehicles like bonds and certificates, or you can invest in a unit-linked equity-based fund. It depends how far away the goal is and what you want to do. For short-term goals, there's no point in doing that. You're probably going to lose money. So if you need something that's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 years or earlier than that, you can only save on deposit. So, for instance, I want to change my car next year. It's due for a change. I don't want to have to go into debt for that. I certainly don't like PCP products. So I have been saving in that fund since I bought my last car. Not a lot. I've had a long time. I don't change my car very often. But whatever I have in there is going to be all I can spend.
Okay.
I can make a choice to get out a loan if I wanted to top it up, but I prefer not
to. So you're putting
to.
Firewalls between different bits of your salary, basically.
Indeed. And most banks now will allow you name those accounts. So instead of looking at account number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you're saying my new car. That's what my account is called. That's the name of it. And it gives you that psychological step to stop you, to save you from yourself. So if you want to dip into it, and listen, life happens. We all have emergencies and we need to dip into.
So my
fund.
New car might be burgled for my current car that just blew a gasket or something.
Maybe. Okay. But at least now you're making a conscious, deliberate choice and you're delaying that purchase by using something that you need more now. And that's perfectly fine. That's the way it's supposed to work. But if you don't have that buffer, then what happens is you end up going into overdraft or putting it on credit card. And that's where you run into debt problems at a later stage. In other words, you don't have that choice to make because all the money is mixed up together. You don't know what it's for. You don't know where it is. It's all just sitting there in an amorphous blob. That's good. Savings are good. But having it structured this way is better because now you make a conscious decision. So if you want to go on a week's holidays to the south of Spain and you want to take that out of your kids' college fund, well, you're going to have a second thought before
and
you do
so
that.
So do you call one of them kids' college fund?
Well, my kids are through now, but yes, one of the biggest ones was my kids' college fund.
Because that would also make you feel a bit guilty if you took money out of that one. Yeah,
exactly. So there's no problem, Kira, by the way, in having a fund. That's essential. That's the first one you should set up. That's the guilt-free one.
And
if you
want to
go on a night out and get a cab home, knock yourself out.
This is actually really good advice. Thank you so much. I don't mean to sound surprised, but I'm usually unamenable to financial advice because I'm not very good financially. But thank you very much for that. That is Sinead Ryan, of course, of this parish, presenter of The Home Show and consumer columnist with the Irish Independent. Love to know what people think about all of that. Someone says young people have no patience. They can't imagine saving for 6 or 7 years to get a down payment. And someone else says data gives you power and then you can make choices. Do I want to travel or save? Do I spend now or save for long term? People need to understand this is something you need to do all your life, says Margaret in Cork.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.